Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King is going to jump on board in about 20 minutes. We're not going to keep Peter long because there is breaking news all around the Tom Brady, Ted Wells, the punishment. There's a conference call in less than an hour that Ted Wells, I think I'm surprised by this. I don't know if Peter is. That Ted Wells is going to talk about the findings in his investigation in an hour from now. So as this show moves through today, we may have some of the latest from the Wells side with the Tom Brady situation and the suspension of four games and the loss of picks and all that. I was not surprised by any of this yesterday other than you take away a first-round pick. And in the grand scheme of things, if you're a Patriot fan, you're outraged. If you're a football fan, you're not really all that over the top about this. Is it really that big of a deal that you lose Tom Brady for four games? I don't know. It was, in my view, excessive. We'll talk with Peter King about this coming up in about 20 minutes, the best in the business with Sports Illustrated, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Michael Delarusso is with us, as always, in the 11 o'clock hour. AZ United SC head coach joins us for a few minutes right after 11 o'clock. Talk to the coach around AZ United SC. Well, some other things we'll get into as well. Let's get off and running and what is on my mind in the world of sports on a busy Tuesday. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, we put you right in the middle of the Honda Resort and Casino and tell you that they've got the tribute concert for Rod Stewart coming up Friday, May 22nd. Who wouldn't want to hear some Rod Stewart? Absolutely. Some guys have all the luck. Crank that up, Jared. Just blast me with it. It's fine. This is what it's going to be like there. Friday, May 22nd in the Conference Center. Tickets are $10 each. There's a $79 room package. No, give me some more. I'll just get out of the way here. Right. This is at the Honda Resort and Casino.
This is like your theme song.
Some guys have all the luck.
Some guys do nothing but complain. That's right up your alley.
What are you talking about?
Well, just about me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're whiny. I was thinking of, like, what are some other Rod Stewart songs that would... Young Turks. You guys just got married. I don't know about that one for you. Well, there's a couple of them. This is a family show sometimes, at least. Hey, look, the tickets are $10, all right? $79 room package includes two tickets. Doors open at 7 o'clock. That's Friday, May 22nd. Guys, make the plans to get out of the valley or around the state. The heat is coming. Droves and droves of you head to the Honda Resort and Casino up in Pine Top, the northeastern part of the state, the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Also, the powwow in the Pines, June 6th and 7th. That's coming up as well. We are partners with AZ Central, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the audience joining us over there on that side. So the story of the day, obviously, is the Brady fallout. Everybody's got an opinion. This is polarizing. There is either, I can't believe Tom Brady got screwed over by not turning over his cell phone and that Ted Wells didn't really put everything into the report. And by the way, are you a Patriots fan? Well, yeah, I'm a Patriots fan. And then, oh, he got off. He's going to be in his mansion. He's going to be with Giselle. This is nothing. Are you a Colts fan? Well, yeah. Are you a Steeler fan? Well, sure. If you're a Cowboy fan, you're pretty happy. You miss Tom Brady. At least today you do. I have to believe that as the day unfolds, with Ted Wells talking in an hour from now, that tells me he's feeling a lot of heat. And then there's the appeal process of this. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier on how does the appeal process work from here for Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady has until 5 Eastern on Thursday to file that appeal. And once he files that appeal, which he's expected to do, then the NFL will have a week to designate an appellate officer to hear the case. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, they'll also have to set a date for that hearing, which is not expected to occur until much later this month or maybe next month. But at some point, they'll want to get that resolved. And again, the big question will be, who is going to be hearing the case?
Yeah, is it going to be Roger Goodell or not? The lack of cooperation with investigators, to me, seems to be the core of this. And do I want to see somebody hand over their cell phone By the way, they did have the cell phones for the two guys, the two Keystone cops. So they would have seen the trace from Brady. Yes, they would have seen the text message exchange from Brady. Patriots being fined $1 million, that's not a big deal. The loss of the first round pick, nobody can spin that in a way that's really not a big deal. It's a big deal. But then there's the, well, I don't quite understand the NFL, Brad. I've gotten this over the last 24 hours. Or not even that, the last 20 hours since the ruling came out. Why is it that this is deemed more offensive than what Ray Rice did? I've gotten that, and I don't have a good answer for you. Why is this more than what Adrian Peterson went through? I don't have a good answer for you. The NFL, it's like when you pull the curtain back, like the offseason for the NFL is always the worst time. Because when the games are played on Sundays for a lot of fans, and I've sat here and said this, the NFL is not what it once was. The rules have changed. The concussion protocol has changed. You're starting to see a very alarming trend. They'll say it's not alarming. It's alarming. Guys retiring early. I think that's only going to continue to escalate. Bob Kraft, to me, seems to be an owner that has enough power that he could go to other owners and eventually remove Roger Goodell. You can't tell me that as close a relationship as Kraft and Goodell have had, that relationship isn't over now, and that Bob Kraft, any rich NFL owner, any sports owner, I've said this many times, most sports owners are nuts. Most of them are. Bob Kraft seems pretty straightforward in his approach, but his team has been caught cheating twice. Is this really cheating? Is this really that big of a deal? I'll hear from guys that are over 50, I just want my football. Oh, what are you talking about? I just want my football. And then I'll see millennials that are like, what are you doing today? You going to the game? No, I'm going to go out sailing. I'm going to go out fishing. I'm going to go do this. I got my fantasy team set. I don't need to go watch football. So you have something like this that happens, and there's a backlash. There's going to be. Yeah, it's polarizing in the moment. The TV ratings will be fine this year. Do I think that this could be drug out? And I'll talk to Peter about this. Do I think this could be drug out all the way before the first week? Do I think the NFL loves this? Having any publicity is good publicity that's going on right now? Probably there's a few people in the league offices that think that this is great, that the Patriots in the middle of a storm, they're going to dominate the entire offseason. But eventually people get tired of it. And eventually people will move on. When you have the marquee face of your league in the middle of an investigation, he's accused of cheating, a certain amount of the population is going to be, he got screwed. A certain amount of the population is going to say, this is great. I love seeing the Patriots twist and turn. And then there's going to be a segment that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to go pay attention to this. And I'm going to go pay attention to that because I don't need this drama. It's like American Idol's being canceled. At one time, that was the biggest thing going on. And you know what? Over the course of time, people are like, I don't need this. I can go find other things. The NFL's in the same place. It is. Ted Wells in an hour. What can he possibly say? And then you have Don Yee, who is the agent for Tom Brady. Don Yee said that the NFL and the Indianapolis Colts were, quote, in some type of pre-AFC championship game planning regarding footballs. So the agent is ascertaining that this was a sting. This was planned out. This was laid out. Yee said, quote, this fact may raise serious questions about the integrity of the games we view on Sundays. Plural, games, Sundays, not Patriots, Colts. So you have the agent for the highest profile player, arguably, in the game, saying that the integrity of the games are at risk.
He just wants to open a bigger can of worms.
Sure he does.
He wants to take all the focus off of Tom Brady and push it right back on the NFL by making statements like that.
Well, and Eric, he went on NPR last week, and his quote on NPR was, quote, there may be people within the NFL who have certain agendas as to how they want to see certain teams perform or how games may be staged.
Yikes.
Okay, so this is the agent for Tom Brady who's making these statements. And he's very smart. He's choosing NPR. He's going to a big national brand. Very smart audience. Not the guy that's just going to sit there and say, give me my football and get everybody else out of the way. You know, those people don't want to hear that their little league is being scrutinized and pushed down on.
Well, and if you talk to ex-NFL players, they will tell you the league is filled with dirty little secrets. when it comes to concussions, hiding injuries.
No question. I played with a former ASU NFL player recently in a golf tournament, and, you know, what goes in the golf course stays in the golf course.
Of course.
But the backstory, and you and I have sat with many players and talked to many players, it's really an interesting time here, because is Roger Goodell going to be pushed out by Bob Kraft? Is Tom Brady, and I asked Peter this last week, and Peter wrote this morning, perhaps this ends up in court. I don't know how that happens as an NFL player. I don't know how that happens, but the taking his life, his profile, and dragging it through the dirt, is this covered under the NFLPA? Is he going to have more to go after? And there's this story from the NFL, and we'll take a break after this. Money paid by the National Guard to NFL teams causes a stir. I want to get into this. At halftime of each home game last season, the New England Patriots invited a soldier on the field to honor the troops. Dressed in camouflage, smiled, waved to the crowd during the feel-good moment. However, the true Patriot program wasn't simply patriotism. It was part of a $225,000 advertising deal between the team and the Massachusetts and New Hampshire National Guard. So John McCain has now gotten in the middle of this, and we've had the senator on many times. A report on government waste issued last week by Senator McCain detailed the expenditure and questioned why the Guard would spend $49 million on professional sports sponsorships in 2014. $49 million. Very good point. And Senator McCain is now in the middle of a different sort of fight. So there's things on all sides, and all the NFL wants to do is please let us just get to opening weekend on a Thursday night, and we can have the focus on the field. But every offseason, it seems as though there's just a little bit more and a little bit more, or a lot more in this case, of what's going on out there. The Guard has claimed that states receive significant return on investment from these deals, but has provided no evidence to prove it, McCain's report said. His point is using taxpayer funds to pay for the less tangible benefits of co-branding with billion-dollar sports leagues raises serious questions, particularly as the Guard reduces its end strength. Very fair point to bring up. And he went a little bit further on in this. I may circle back on this as the show progresses. But this story came out today, and the timing of it with the Patriots, and I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. Like, there's some stories today. Jim Harbaugh has to be the happiest guy on the face of the planet today. What do you know? Some violations came out at Michigan already under Jim Harbaugh's watch. And, well, they kind of released it today. I don't know. Is it let's dump our dirty laundry day, which happens in our industry all the time? You want the bad news? Let's get it out there when Tom Brady has been suspended for four games because nobody's going to talk about it. No, I will.
There's a Michigan combination there. Brady, Harbaugh.
Sure. So the first, we got a couple minutes here before we get
and
to Peter.
Brady Harbaugh probably just shrugs his shoulders, Brad, like, okay, great. These little violations.
Sure.
Slap me on the wrist.
I'm coming in here and I'm running Michigan.
Clearly, he's already stirred the drink. So.
Yeah. The first violation stemmed from the recruitment of Wayne Lyons, a graduate transfer from Stanford. Another involved Harbaugh sending an autographed helmet to a high school, and the proceeds were used for a scholarship fund. Harbaugh didn't know that. That's a violation. Third violation occurred when Harbaugh and two other football officials allowed a prospective athlete to sit in what was considered premium seating at an ice arena. The final violation involved an electronic correspondence with a recruit. None of these are that big of a deal. This is being blown up back in Michigan that, see, Harbaugh's already doing it. Like in Ohio, Harbaugh's already doing it. I don't know. You want to sit here and watch an ice rink? You want to sit here and watch some hockey? And this is a violation? Fine, knock yourself out.
Happens all the time.
Text
too.
Message? Fine,
happens
knock yourself
all the time.
Out. Autographed helmet to a high school? Happens all the time.
When it says Jim Harbaugh gave a bag of money to fill in the blank recruit,
yeah,
get back to me. That will be a big story. And that happens all the time too. So,
here's the thing. When I get asked, and I get asked, and if any of you ask, no is the answer. I get asked, hey, I'm doing a charity event. Can you get such and such signed merchandise from the team? Or will you go ask this player for this And very, very, very seldom through 30 years of doing this have I ever gone up to a player and said, hey, I'm doing something. I need you to sign this. And you're thinking, why? Because at some point I may need to get on his case or her case. I don't want somebody to try to take away from, well, I can't say anything about this guy, even though he's doing this or that, because he gave me an autographed bat. I'm not one of these guys that's like, where's my stuff, man? Don't you know? I need my stuff. No, we're not a freeloader like that. And so, you know, but I do get the stuff from the school or the team and say, I'm emceeing an event. Can you get me an autographed helmet? I don't care who's on it. I don't need to know who's on it. And if I get mad at the team and rip them, then the team's got to just work through it. And that's happened many times. We're not going to give you anything anymore. And then we just work through it. Everett Golson's on my mind today. We're going to circle back on that. The Notre Dame quarterback has one Pac-12 school that is on his list of transferring to. Eric and I are trying to figure it out. I think I have an idea on that one. We'll get to that later. Braxton Miller, where does he end up? And there's actually some people in the NCAA that are not happy that the University of Oregon has Vernon Adams on their roster, and they want to close that loophole, fifth-year seniors, graduate seniors. So we'll get to that as well as we continue on. But up next, it's Peter King. The latest on Tom Brady, we'll talk with Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB editor-in-chief. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Busy Tuesday again, coming up in about 40 minutes. Ted Wells conference call. Really surprising. Peter King joins us now for a couple of minutes. The MMQB, SI.com senior NFL writer. Are you surprised Ted Wells is going to talk today, Peter?
I am, yeah. I don't recall him speaking after the Miami decision he made. So, you know, I don't know. I think the NFL is feeling like it's getting a lot of heat. And I think they're just intent on trying to sort of batten down the hatches and trying to show everybody, hey, this is more than just, this is more than just scattershot proof. We have solid evidence for why we made this decision.
What do you want to hear from him yourself, Peter? Or what are you planning on asking him or anything along those lines?
I think the most important thing to hear from him is, I'd love to know what you say. It's more probable than not that Brady knew of this scheme. Well, is that 51-49 more probable than not? 70-30, 90-10? How sure are you that Brady knew?
How much has been left out of this report? There's a lot circulating that not everything was included in this. Are you hearing the same sort of things?
No, I haven't heard that there was a lot left out of it, but I'm sure the only stuff they put in there was factual stuff. I think one of the things that happens in a report like this, it's just like when I do a story, a long story on somebody, mm-hmm. I maybe put in about 30% of what I know and I've researched because I've left a bunch of it on the cutting room floor. Just like when you do a movie and a producer of a movie says, boy, this could be a 4-hour movie, but if it was, nobody would watch. So you have to find some way to cut it down to an hour and 47 minutes, and you do that. In this case, I'm not sure that he cared all that much about it, but this is going to be like a long investigative story that somebody would do, for whatever, Mother Jones or the New York Times or Sports Illustrated. And you're going to leave a bunch of stuff on the cutting room floor. It's just a matter of trying to figure out what's the most important stuff and the most valid stuff to put in.
The MMQB's Peter King. I'm going to keep him short today because he's got a lot that he's working on. A few other questions, and I'll let you go. If Brady hands over his cell phone, is it that simple that we're not talking about this suspension today?
I don't think it's that simple. Honestly, what I've been thinking about this is, you know, I think there's a couple of reasons why he wouldn't hand over the cell phone. I'm sure that the NFL Players Association, and he was a named plaintiff, remember, Brad, on the 2011 CBA case with the NFLPA. I'm sure the NFLPA does not want to get into the business of its, you know, its some of its key membership handing over private cell phones to the National Football League in investigations. Once you set that priority, so if Tom Brady did it, if the Houston Texans are investigating player X for something, they're going to ask for his cell phone. And what if player X doesn't have the gravitas of a Tom Brady and Tom Brady has already said yes? Well, then everybody's going to have to turn over their cell phones. And if you don't, it'll be, you know, a sure sign that you've got something to hide. So I think there's that. And I also think, hey, maybe in Brady's eyes, not just that, but maybe in Brady's eyes, there's some stuff he doesn't want the Ted Wells team to see. That's all I can think of. It's got to be one of those two things.
Will Goodell hear the appeal?
Probably, but because he allowed Troy Vincent to do much of the investigation on this. Now, make no mistake, this is a big Goodell, you know, investigation and this was a big Goodell decision.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Troy Vincent might have written the letters, these things are not written in a vacuum or decided in a vacuum. Goodell was deeply involved, as was Vincent, and as were other people in the league office.
How would you describe the relationship Kraft-Goodell? Is it completely over now?
I don't think so. Robert Kraft is a pragmatist. Roger Goodell is a pragmatist. And though it is true that they always have been very close in terms of league activities and things like that and trying to do the best thing for the future of football, this is not the kind of relationship where I wouldn't even say it's the kind of relationship that Goodell has had with Dean Rooney of the Steelers, where that's almost been, I don't want to say even father-son, but it's been, I think, a much closer relationship. I think the Kraft Goodell relationship has been a very good relationship, but it's also been a relationship of convenience. Both sides, both men, understanding how good they can be for each other. Flagship franchise, winning franchise, with an owner who desperately wants what's best for the league, who wants the best TV deals and all that. So I think it's been, they've had a good relationship, but it's not like every time Bob Kraft comes into New York and he has an apartment in Midtown near Central Park, every time he comes into New York, he's not calling Roger Goodell to go have lunch with him. It's just, it isn't that kind of relationship. I think it's a business relationship. It's close, but I think it's been a little bit exaggerated that it's the decline of Western civilization because Bob Kraft's not going to get along with Roger Goodell.
Well, and that's my point. There's been so much written and said in the last 24 hours or even just to last week to now that Kraft, does he aim with other owners to remove Goodell? I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, look.
You've heard that, though. You've heard that?
I don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it. You know, I think Kraft believes that Goodell made a terrible mistake. I don't believe that Kraft is going to lead some march to remove Roger Goodell as commissioner. Now, you know, look, this thing right now is whatever it is, 20, 23 hours old,
sure.
You know, since this happened. So it's way too early to tell. You know, as I wrote on Twitter last night, I said, look, there's no doubt in my mind that Kraft is considering going rogue, going Al Davis, and taking legal action against the NFL. But has he made that decision yet? Who knows? Maybe he's made it today at this point, whether he is or he isn't. But I think it's a sign that, you know, of his angst, of his anger, that he would consider doing something like that 5 days after he said absolutely he wouldn't. Now, the one other thing I would also say, Brad, is that if Robert Kraft feels suddenly totally jobbed by the commissioner who he has supported through thick and thin, there's also, let's put it on the seesaw, aren't there 31 other owners, some of whom will be
yes.
sitting in the background cheering and saying, way to go, Roger, way to show that you're not playing favorites. So, you know, as much as Kraft might be thinking, I hate this guy right now, you've got other guys saying, thanks, commissioner, and thanks, league office, for, finally spanking the golden children.
Lastly, and I'll let you go off this, your personal opinion on the decision and the punishment.
I thought it was excessive myself. First of all, what differs from the original Spygate thing where they had a smoking gun, they had the videotape where they were able to see that, and the Patriots ended up admitting what they did. And it's different from the Saints deal where Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the Saints, you know, admitted to league officials that there had been a bounty system in place with the Saints, you know, a couple of seasons previous. And so, you've got those two things, and then, I'm of the opinion that in order to really bash a team hard, you've got to have a smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have absolute proof. And this is strong circumstantial evidence, but it's not absolute proof. And that's one of the reasons why I thought that the sanction to the team, you know, I understood the four games with Brady, but to the team,
Yeah. Wow.
It was pretty harsh.
Let you go off that. I know it's a busy time for you. Thanks as always for your time.
Thanks a million, Brad. Take care.
Good talking to you. Peter King, the MMQB, SI.com senior NFL writer. The latest, again, 25 minutes from now, conference call with Ted Wells, and he'll be addressing quite a bit. I would have to think that this call will be very, very heated from some sides of the equation, that there's going to be quite a bit that is thrown his way. And it'll be very interesting to see how forthcoming he is on all this. And again, that's in 25 minutes. So the story continues on. I have no doubt that there's going to be an appeal based on the people that are much smarter than me that I've talked to either on the air, off the air, that are involved in this, and just where things are going. Is he going to be the opening day starting quarterback? I don't know that. If you're a fantasy guy, you probably would like to hear what Michael Fabiano thinks about Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't think that's the story of today. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to become this storyline. There's already been this. When the Cowboys play the Patriots, Garoppolo and Romo, they both went to Eastern Illinois. What a great storyline. Okay, got it. Understood. But I'm still, in my mind, this story is going to continue to unfold, and there's going to be layers to it, and some of you will get fatigued by it. Some of you will be completely captivated by it because it's Tom Brady. And I'm not willing to sit here and say there's not a chance that he's on the field for the opening game of the season. Because at the end of the day, the television network is going to get involved in this. There's no question at the end of the day, the TV networks are going to say they're already paying huge money and getting not as much on their return as they used to. You take the prince of the NFL off the field, they're going to find ways. They just will. I think it'd be great if NBC had Tom in the booth. Let's make him the third analyst for the opening game, Patriots-Steelers. I'm sure Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, I think it's an NBC game, I'm sure they'd be fine with that. Let's put him on the air and have him do the play-by-play when it's Jacksonville, because it's Jacksonville, and nobody cares. Let's have some fun with this. Some of you are wound up in the way of, this is really, really bad for the league. I'm kind of leaning that way, but at the end of the day, there's a bigger part of the country that I think that I've seen, heard from in social media circles. The circles I run around with are not sports people inside and out. If all you do is run around with sports people, you're in the forest and the trees. You're not in touch with society. He cheated. But do I think it's the end of the NFL? No, but it's not a good day. Is this more severe than Ray Rice? No, it's not. That's why the punishment, when I see the punishment, it's like, you got to be kidding me, okay? How do we justify this? How do I explain this? As I had to do last night, I'm sitting there with my wife. She's saying, what about Brady? What happened with Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson? Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, so LeBron James, David Blatt, we are so blessed in this show to every day bring you LeBron James versus David Blatt, because every day it should be Pinocchio time. When you hear David Blatt speak, I don't know if I can buy into that, well, he's just not that experienced yet and we're just bringing him along, where LeBron just is like, I have to tolerate this, and I'm going to get his ass fired. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Eric and I were talking this morning about the combine that's coming up this week, the NBA combine. And there's actually a reason to be talking about the Suns, in spite of all the just train wreck that's going on in downtown Phoenix. Just a disaster. Are we going to have Paul on with us, you think, later this week? Paul Coro, Maisie
yep.
Central?
Yeah, he's heading back there, I think.
He's going to Chicago?
Tomorrow. Yep.
So there's quite a bit. Before I even get into Cleveland, Chicago, and the great David Blatt, David Splatt, whatever you want to call David Blatt, and how this is going to end in Cleveland, Monty Williams got fired this morning in New Orleans, which is a surprise to me. New Orleans went to the playoffs, and they fired him. And there is already the speculation from very well-connected NBA insiders, David Aldridge just put up, if the Bulls get rid of Thibodeau after the playoffs, Tibbs, obvious candidate to coach Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. There's been this thought out there that Thibodeau has been looking around. If we remember when Steve Kerr was here, he tried to hire Tom Thibodeau to be his defensive guy when he was with the Boston Celtics and to bring him out here. Kerr had the vision. It's amazing to me when you go through 5 years of what we've been going through here with our little NBA team who's marginally been playing NBA basketball the last 5 years. And all the moves that could have happened, whether it was Steph Curry for Amari, And Kerr wanted to do that. And it was Kerr that wanted to hire Thibodeau. And if those two moves had happened, we would not be sitting here today in a studio in Scottsdale talking about Tom Brady. We would be somewhere with NBA playoff basketball, probably in Memphis. I don't know. That close. So tonight, I am definitely going. My viewing tonight is set. It's done. I'm going to watch Cleveland and Chicago tonight. If you're any sort of sports fan, even if you don't care much for the NBA, this has been as good a basketball series as you will see. This has been big boy playoff basketball. This has not been the grinded out 79-76 game. Even last night, I'm trying to watch Atlanta and Washington, and I saw the end. Paul Pierce had an open three, and he missed it, and he looked over at the guy that he thought dove at his legs and, like, give me a foul. And that's what they all do. It drives me crazy.
But it's really unbalanced, Brad, between the two games. Because, like, last night's games compared to tonight's games,
it's not even close.
That's like the opening act, and tonight JV is like kind of the main event.
Yeah, I mean, it's the JV.
Clippers, Rockets, really good intrigue. And obviously, we all know what's going on with the Cavs and the Bulls. And on the other side, it looks like the Warriors figured it out, whatever they needed to have figured out. And Hawks and Wizards, it's fine.
But, you know, Golden State made their shots last night. It was that simple. I watched most of that game, and when Steph Curry goes crazy, they're going to win. And he went crazy last night. He's so good to watch. I can't imagine a NBA Eastern Conference final involving either Atlanta or Washington, because neither one of these teams are better than San Antonio. And San Antonio's gone. They're out. I don't think either one of these teams are all that great. The Golden State game last night. Now they're tied up at two. Memphis, if they slow it down, they're fine. But let's get over to LeBron, because this is much more fun. This is much more entertaining. So tonight we'll have Cavs and Bulls. 2-2. LeBron's got an ankle. Gasol's got a strained hamstring. Kyrie can't walk. Shumpert has a leg injury. Like, all the big name star players are beat up in this series. LeBron's going to try to play through it. So we go back to the final play on Sunday, which LeBron said, I scratched that play. And David Blatt had drawn up a play that was LeBron inbounding the basketball with 1.8 seconds left, which is just nuts. You're going to have your best player inbound it. You're not going to get a quick touchback for a shot. So LeBron walks out on the court and says, I'm not doing this. David Blatt yesterday, of course, was cornered, peppered from every angle about this, and was asked, did LeBron veto the final play on Sunday?
He didn't veto the play. He just felt strongly about what a better situation would be. And and as it turned out, that was the right thing. It could have been the right thing the other way, too.
Ooh. We'll never know. Ooh. The coaching staff, according to David Blatt, scratched the original play.
We called that off. We decided to do it another way, just to be clear about it. You know, we went in balanced exactly with what we wanted to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that. You, David Blatt,
God.
You are not a man of integrity. Man. You just proved it.
What is that?
Oh,
here is LeBron about this debate being blown out of proportion.
I don't know what's going on out there until you guys bring it to me.
Uh-huh.
So, sure.
He's put our team in a position to be successful in the postseason.
Right.
And as a players, we got to go out and execute. So.
Sure.
It's not about me changing play calls or Coach Black trying to call a timeout when we didn't have one. I mean, like I said, that's what we're a team. You don't have to do it on your own.
So that's why we're a team. So when you're out and you're working as a team and you see your weak link over there, you're on the football field, you have a left tackle that's on roller skates, you're done. For LeBron had to bring up in that little clip there, for him to call a timeout that we didn't have. He didn't need to bring that up again. It's very calculated, right?
It's, hey, we need to meet in the hotel room. LeBron, Coach Blatt, and all the PR department. Okay, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to defuse this situation?
It's not
you have
even
the coach
that.
Saying one thing, the star player saying another.
Here is more LeBron James. He was asked about his relationship with Dave Blatt.
I've been my wife since I was 11th grade, but I think our relationship continues to grow every day. So, you know, it never stops when you're around someone, you know, every day. And I think that's what it is with me and Coach. You know, our relationship continues to grow every day. You know, we communicate on a day-to-day basis about what we expect out of each other, what we think our team, you know, as far as the team, you know, he's our general. And, I just try to be the coach, you know, the extension of him on the floor.
It's great because LeBron is so polished. He knows exactly what to say and when to say it and when to push and when to pull back. And you can just kind of read between what he's saying and what he's really meaning in these bites.
I thought the Cleveland turnaround for the season was actually here in Phoenix. Remember that? LeBron came back.
Uh-huh.
And that was in January. And there was already every corner around the Cavaliers was.
Yeah, the Cavs are struggling.
They weren't good. They had a game here. LeBron came back, and every person that we had talked to said, this David Blatt thing is not working out. Okay. So now we're in the playoffs, and he scratches a play. He brings up the fact that he scratched the play. Is he being truthful, or is he just throwing his coach under the bus? He reminds people that the coach did not have timeouts and that he tried to call timeouts the day after. Where it's very simple. It's, guys, Coach Blatt and I are fine. We're in a series. It's tied at 2, and we have the Bulls tomorrow night. Next question. Pretty simple, right? But instead, it's great for us. It's great for the fans. Yeah, there's some transparency going on there. Clearly, this is not all going the right way. And then you have over on the Bulls side, there's been the conversation that Thibodeau's looking at Orlando, or that he's looking at another job, or that he's going to get fired, that his run in Chicago is about to come to an end. And you look at the Bulls, Derrick Rose to me looks fresh, this whole playing back-to-back games. We'll see how that works out. We'll see if he's able to play back-to-back, and not back-to-back, but with one day off, one day rest, that he's always better with 2 days rest. We'll see how that plays as the series progresses. LeBron's got to do this on his own, though. He's got there, and if Gasol is not able to go tonight, then there's more pressure on Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's played great against LeBron. The last second shot of the game, that's about as good as you can play defensively. The Rockets, Clippers, I think Kevin McHale's going to get fired. In my own humble opinion, I think that James Harden, in his own way, after the last game, didn't agree with the hack-out defense. The league cannot be happy at all having, 96 and 95 free throws in the last two games. So that's 191 free throws in the last two games. 191. Nobody can be happy with that. I'd like to see the Clippers move on. I think for Chris Paul, if the Clippers win tonight, it's great for Chris Paul. Because on the other side, Golden State and Memphis are going to slug it out 6 or 7 games. They're a 2-2 right now. College football on the other side. This Vernon Adams graduate transfer story has blown up. Everett Golson says there's one Pac-12 school on his list. Where's that school? Is Braxton Miller looking at LSU? Some college football I want to get to on the other side. Talk to United, talk to the coach with Michael De La Russo comes up in about 10 minutes. Ted Wells speaking in about 15 as we continue on Busy Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. There is the business side of Tom Brady that, as the show has been unfolding, has taken a very interesting turn. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. This segment of the show brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. You can get away from it all. The cool pines just outside of Pine Top. The Honda Resort and Casino. Pull down the slot. Eat great food. Have fun at the Honda Resort and Casino. So Yahoo just released a story that since May 6th, when the NFL reported the Patriots Brady story, that gear started selling higher for Tom Brady. This week, Brady gear is doing even better. It's up 100% in sales. Now, it's the offseason. I get that. But we saw, was it, Eric, on Twitter this morning that the Patriots released a shot of Brady's jersey with the tone of, we've got your back.
Yeah, they just changed their Twitter avatar to the back of Brady's jersey. So
merchandise for Brady and his team is flying off the shelf. Ticket prices, though, are dropping for home games, down from this time a year ago to now. Why is that? Because he's not going to be there to start out the season. But tickets for the biggest change for the Patriots game is against the Colts. Those prices are up 13% in the last 24 hours. Think of that on the business end. So in the last 24 hours, the price of something goes up 13%. Give me that business, right? I mean, I love doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing it. But 13% increase in one day, it's pretty good. Fanatics, the site, according to Fanatics, the largest retailer of officially licensed sports merchandise, sales of Brady gear have spiked 100% since Monday afternoon. So there you go. For those that think that this is all about, hey, now it'll drive some of you nuts. What do you mean his stuff's going up? There's some college football stuff that caught my eye. We do a lot of college football here year-round. This is not just something when it becomes convenient for us. We see stories that are of interest. In fact, on the whole college front, I forgot to mention in the last segment, TJ McConnell for the U of A did get invited to the NBA Combine this morning, according to Bruce Pasco. Hopped on a plane going to the Combine. He should have been. On the football front, so this story is really interesting to me. Oregon, the Ducks have a quarterback, Vernon Adams, who is going to be playing this year, replacing Marcus Mariota in all likelihood. He was an Eastern Washington quarterback, developed into one of the top performers at his level. Because he's a graduate transfer, meaning he graduated from Eastern Washington, he can go wherever he wants. Adams will spend his final season at Oregon. So he leaves Eastern Washington, he goes to Oregon. Ironically, Oregon opens the season with Eastern Washington. So now the NCAA is looking at this, and people around it, there's some comments that Stuart Mandel had today. They're very, very good. Sunbelt Commissioner Carl Benson told reporters, the kid from Eastern Washington going to Oregon and Eastern Washington opening the season, it just doesn't feel right. What message does that send to his teammates that have been sweating and bleeding with him for 3 years? Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, he gets a better offer and jumps ship. I'm not sure that's a great message to send to a group of his teammates. I don't know. Let's look at this big picture. They've graduated. They can go out into society and they can go take a job on Wall Street, or they can go take a job at Dairy Queen, and there's nothing wrong with that. They can go wherever they want to go. There were other ADs that said, well, this would make sense if they went there to go actually pursue their graduate degree. No, they found a loophole. Their graduate degree is to play professionally. So if you're at Eastern Washington and you have a chance to go to Oregon because you want to play at the next level, how is this a bad thing? David Shaw of Stanford actually backs this idea and proposal. You would think Stanford would be the last place that would say that this makes a lot of sense, but David Shaw was like, no, this does work. But the NCAA is looking into this, and to me, it's like, have you guys lost your minds? Well, I knew that a long time ago. There's nothing wrong with the fifth-year transfer. Is it become, on the basketball end, has it become an epidemic? Yeah, I think it's like 500 kids that have transferred now in college basketball. Then we have Everett Golson, the quarterback at Notre Dame. The last time we saw Everett Golson here in Tempe, he was running for his life and making some plays in the third and fourth quarter against Arizona State in a game that had gotten away from them. Starting quarterback at Notre Dame. He has a list of schools. He is a much valued, highly desired commodity. There are colleges that are sitting there right now that do not have their starting quarterbacks figured out. One of them happens to be Texas, who, by the way, Notre Dame opens with. Notre Dame is blocking Everett Golson from transferring to any school that they play on their football schedule. Would I be of the same mindset if I'm in the athletic director's chair? Same thing with Eastern Washington opening with Oregon. I don't know. Everett Golson put the program through some angst early in his career. Is this their way of returning the favor? Is there a competitive advantage? If you're a Notre Dame fan, the last thing you want to see is Everett Golson show up on campus all summer long and sit with Charlie Strong and talk about what it was that Notre Dame was doing. So there's that story, and that Florida State, he could be the replacement for Jameis Winston, Everett Golson, that Florida State is moving that direction. I think the interesting part of this story, we were talking about it this morning, Eric and I were, is there is one Pac-12 school that is pursuing him. Can't be U of A, can't be ASU, Colorado, can't be USC, can't be Stanford. You have Kevin Hogan up there.
I doubt it.
Can't
be Cal,
Oregon.
Because Cal's got Goff.
They've got Goff.
Yeah.
Oregon State, Sean Mannion left.
Maybe.
For the NFL. Coaching change there. Washington.
Don't know what their quarterback situation is.
Washington
like
State.
They will need a quarterback.
Utah.
But he doesn't really fit, like, he's not really a Mike Leach type quarterback.
And my whole thing is, what does it, I only care about Arizona and Arizona State, in no particular order, guys, all right? All I care about is the in-state schools, really, and the Pac-12 South. Pac-12 South is the toughest division in all of college football. For those of you in the SEC West, knock yourselves out. But it's right here in our own backyard. That's just how it's going to be. USC is going to be good. UCLA is going to be good. Could it be UCLA? You know, if Rowan comes in at quarterback, is he not ready yet? So this story is going on. Then Braxton Miller's out there too. And LSU is reportedly looking at him. So you're going to have two quarterbacks in the next month that are going to jump ship. It's kind of like Connor Brewer. Connor Brewer got out of the way early. He decided, I'm going to go up to NAU, which was a smart decision on his part. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. On the other side, it is Michael Delarusso. We talk United, walk United, talk to the coach. United SC, tough one the other night in a draw. And then we'll get it back into Tom Brady, the conference call that'll be going on here momentarily with Ted Wells. We'll bring you some of the latest on that. I'm Brad Sismat. We'll start out with the Jonathan Topp goal in the 20th minute of the match on the Chiva shot. Let's walk through that goal and let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was a good build-up play by us. It was good movement. It's what happens when you put a shot on goal. Obviously, the keeper didn't do great with it. You know, probably wants that one back, but, you know, John made the most of it, followed up, was in a good spot, and, you know, luckily he was able to put it away. But building up to that, I think it was good, and forward's movement was good. We created space for each other, and that's what happens when you start doing the right things.
How has Jonathan been for you this year? Up in the box, it looks like he's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been very good. You know, he's been a little bit more of a mature player. He's learning the game better. Obviously, when you get some games under your belt, he was with Dallas for 4 years and had limited game action. So, you know, he's learning from the game, which is the best part. He's a great guy. Extremely coachable, and you know, I think he's starting to reap benefits of his hard work.
Does Dallas give you any feedback on what they're seeing of him out here, or do you give them feedback?
It's a little bit of both. I talked to him yesterday, and you know, obviously they keep tabs on guys that they know.
Then let's move ahead in the match. 89th minute. I'm thinking that this is going to be three points for you, but Bardsley with the equalizer. Walk us through what happened on that play.
Yeah, we get stretched defensively. It's one of those things. Even if we make substitutions, whatever it is, whatever it has to be it, you know, we have to be compact defensively. I think we stayed too high, especially being up a goal. Our back four was dropped pretty deep, and that created a big gap in the midfield. Obviously, we did not do a good job of one-on-one defending, but at the same time, there was no support for him because we were so stretched. Other guys were worrying about midfielders coming through. We should add a line of defense, you know, with our midfield. So really, if you look at the complete breakdown, it was a team breakdown that should never have taken place. And, you know, we'll go over it, learn from it, and hopefully that'll never happen again.
Not making mistakes, but not having Rob Valentino out there with cramping, it looked like, that had to have been a problem on that play. Would you agree or disagree?
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. Yeah, I got
no.
you. I got you.
But no, guys should know their roles, and guys go through it every day at training. And it's one of those tough situations.
What did you take away from the match then? What was your takeaway?
There's all sorts of stuff. I don't think you have a long enough show. At the end of the day, like we said, we're judged on wins and losses, but as a collective group, you can see the pieces are starting to come together. Offensively, there's a couple things that we have to do a little better. Our spacing and timing has gotten better, but it's still not where we want it to be. Getting guys involved in the attack all the time, it's getting better, like I said, still not where we want. And then defensively, just being a little bit more organized. I think that's a big part of what we did this week, and I think it showed for, I would say, 89 minutes. And that's the tough part. That's the tough part about defending as well, is you can do things well for 89 minutes and one let up, and, you know, it's noticed by everybody. So it's just getting mentally engaged and being there the whole time for the full 90.
Michael De La Russa with us. You have Austin this week, and then you turn right back around. I'm bringing this up for the fans' advantage, too, that you have U.S. Open Cup against the winner of FC Tucson and Chula Vista a week from Wednesday. So two games coming up here in the next week, or next 8 days. Let's talk about Austin first this Saturday night at home.
Yeah, we're excited. They're a good team. You know, we played them well down there. They're a good collection of players, though, for sure. And guys that have found success, especially at home, they haven't been away that much. I think they've only played two road games. So hopefully, it hasn't showed so far, but hopefully we'll be able to use a little bit of home field advantage for our sake. But it's going to be a challenge. They have some good attacking players. Their coach was a very good attacking player in his own right. His style of play is an attractive style, and they send a lot of numbers forward. But there will be some guys that we'll have to key in on, I like the matchups all around, and it'll be fun to get out there on Saturday.
Okay, and then the following week, a week from tomorrow, U.S. Open Cup, FC Tucson, Chula Vista, you'll play the winner of them. Do you know much about either side at this point?
Not too much, no. And that's the tough part about PDL, and men's league. But I'll go down and I'll watch the game tomorrow. So,
oh, okay.
I should get a little better an understanding and see what they're all about. So hopefully it'll be a good game, and, you know, we look forward to it. Obviously the Open Cup is something special for this country, and we look forward to getting started on it.
Yeah, and selfishly, I'll just tell you, Coach, I would really like to see FC Tucson win.
I don't think you're by yourself on that.
I think it would be so much
fun. There's a lot
of
people in the Valley and a lot of people in this state that want to make that happen. So we'll see. We'll see how they do tomorrow night.
Safe travels. Appreciate your time. See you Saturday. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Take care.
Michael De La Russa with us every week. And again, this Saturday night, they are at home. They're in this long stretch of home matches against Austin this Saturday night at 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. Fans get down there early, and they have a good time partying down in Scottsdale and make their way over to Scottsdale Stadium. That's 7:30 this Saturday night. And the next Wednesday night, the U.S. Open Cup could be Tucson against Phoenix, which would be a lot of fun.